All right, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading the first seven verses, and we are going to be, this is the last sermon in our series, Open Heaven, and we're going to be doing what God has really asked us to do, which is creating a place of freedom and expression where the Holy Spirit can move. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. So pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Verse number 3, go your ways, behold, and I send you as lambs amongst wolves. That sounds like a promising send-off. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire, and do not go from that house. I want to focus on verse number 5 and 6 this morning. Into whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn you again. It shall turn to you again. Holy Spirit, would you help me? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. First verse, it says, before his face. I'm going to send you, but before you go, you have to be before my face. You know, verse 1 teaches that intimacy with Jesus will determine the outcome. There is this thing in the Trinity called God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if you're not careful in modern American day church, what you'll change that to is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. We have God the Holy Bible represented in the Trinity through Jesus. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." What we're missing in the modern day American church is the tangible presence and moving of the Holy Spirit alive and well. So we believe at our church in not just God the Father, who we are reconciled now through the finished work of the cross through Jesus, and we build our life upon the foundation of him, because why? In the beginning was the Word. And we now believe that the Holy Spirit is the lifeblood of the body, tangibly being able to feel his presence. Many people know this analogy. Do you know it's possible to have a house but not a home? Do you know it's possible to have a marriage on paper but be divorced in your hearts? Do you understand it's possible to have the form of something but not actually have the thing that you actually have the form of? And so what we have today in the modern day church is we have a form of godliness that does not allow the life flow or lifeblood of the Holy Spirit moving in the midst of people. There is nothing worse than after you've been married for a year or two, or like in my wife's case, we celebrated 22 years of marriage this past week. 22 years, all thanks to God and that beautiful woman right there. The reason why we have the kids that we have, the reason why we have the home that we have, is because that woman of God right there puts up with this guy. If you know what I'm talking about, nod your head. All right. You guys are mean. You guys should have disagreed. 22 years of marriage has taught me that I hate when my wife is not at home. When you get used to being next to someone in bed, when that person is not there anymore, there is this restlessness that you feel because you're really alone for the first time in a long time. Does everyone know what I'm talking about? That is what I believe the American church is missing when the Holy Spirit isn't present. There is something that is missing in the lifeblood of the church. But you have to know that the instructions of Jesus to his 70 that he sent out is that if you're going to want to make an impact, your impact is going to be determined by your intimacy. And your intimacy is going to be determined by how much you want the tangible presence of God to be alive in your life, allowing you to walk towards Jesus and his word, which allows the bridge to have a relationship with your heavenly Father. So he says you're going to have to know that if you're going to want to be part of Stephen's church, this church that is alive and well, you're going to have to spend time with him. God is not going to be able to be your God if only you're going to allow weekend visits. If the only time you're going to think about him or be intimate with the Holy Spirit is on Sunday mornings, he'll take that, but you're not going to see the result of the powerful relationship you can have through Jesus to your Heavenly Father unless you allow the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to have to be before his face. The second thing we learned about this scripture is that you have to pray that he will allow us to send forth laborers, not hirelings, not managers, not people that will say they're working on behalf of God, but actual laborers. Don't pray for strategy or resources. What does Jesus say? Pray for people. What's going to move the kingdom of God forward is not the brick of the church, it's the people of the church. People of the church is what's going to move this thing forward. His third instructions, carry neither purse, shoes, scrip, and salute no one on the way. We have heard these four, if you've been raised in church or you've been part of church, preached about in nauseam. The first is you have to understand as you're walking in kingdom advancement, your provision does not come from anybody else but Jesus and him. It doesn't come from how much money comes in the church, how full the church is full of people. Your provision as a kingdom advancer comes from the presence of God, not you carrying and doing it in your own natural ability. That's why he said don't carry a purse. Don't worry about where your provision is going to come from, because your provision is going to come from the Lord. The second thing we learn in the scripture is that your comfort is secondary to your transformation. Here's what the Lord says. He says, when you go, take your shoes off and walk barefoot. I don't know about you, but I've got sensitive feet. Does anyone else have sensitive feet in here? I'm the guy on the beach that's prancing around like a ballerina. There's some people with tough feet, man, that it is like so awkward to be around them because they're walking through hot coals of fire. You know, they're good. Me, I'm like dancing like a 600-pound elephant and people are laughing at me. There is something about sensitive feet that if you're going to do anything for God, you can't have sensitive feet. Your comfort is secondary to your mission. That's why so many people in the church struggle when it comes to living an advancement of a kingdom life, is because they think their comfort is more important than their transformation. Nothing could be further than the truth. Your transformation is going to make you get out of your comfort zone. There's going to come a point in your walk with the Lord that if you want to do something in your world through your life for him, that transformation has to be your primary goal and comfort has to be your secondary goal. So he says to the 70, don't worry about your provision and don't worry about your comfort and also don't worry about the excess baggage that you carry. The script, he says, excess baggage will slow you down. How many go for a four-day vacation but pack two suitcases? I'm one of those people. I get, like, I'm going away for 2 or 3 days, and I've got 7 pairs of shoes that I'm never going to wear. I haven't really learned the art of packing, or, you know, I've watched those YouTube organizational videos where they teach you how to pack your luggage. By the time I get to the place or my destination, it's like the tornado or hell threw open my suitcase. Jesus says, if you're going to go out and you're going to do something for me, excess baggage will slow you down. The fourth thing he says is salute no one along the journey, which is almost this oxymoron of Jesus saying, don't be friendly. No, he's not saying don't be friendly. What he is saying is distractions, even good distractions, will cause you to walk away from being mission-minded. And the modern-day church will actually look to programs, and the programs will cause distractions on actually being mission-minded. And we'll feel good about ourselves in motion, but we'll have no movement. And so what Jesus says is very important. So undoubtedly, Stephen was aware of these instructions. Stephen's church was equipped with weapons. His life was not his own. He wasn't raised in a consumer environment. He knew that there was God's part, which is considered finished, and he knew that there was our part. And the first three instructions, I believe, are widely talked about in the advancement of the kingdom. To be clear, here are the marching orders. So if you're taking notes, I want you to listen to the three instructions that Jesus gives that are most popular in the church. To be clear, it's intimacy with Jesus or it's relationship over religion that's going to cause transformation in your life and your family. If you lean on religion, or you lean on the form of God, but you deny its power, there's going to be no transformation in your life. But if you lean on relationship, in relationship, Jesus can tell you what to add to your life and what to take away from your life, and transformation begins to take place. So first thing is, you're going to have to learn how to have intimacy with your Heavenly Father through Jesus, through the tangible presence of the working of the Holy Spirit. Second is that people are the chosen vehicle for the advancement of the gospel. Romans chapter 10 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who spread the good news. Or in other words, you're not going to be able to have sensitive feet. You're going to have tough feet that are going to be able to be stepped on, because on this journey, you're not just going to confront things in other people. Things in your own life are going to be confronted. And as I walk and as I grow and as I walk through this sanctification process, if I have sensitive toes, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hop from church to church to church. I'm going to hop from kingdom thing to kingdom thing. I'm going to have a whole lot of motion, but there's not going to be any movement in my life to become more like Jesus. And so what I have to learn is that people, I am the vehicle. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm the vehicle by which God chooses for the advancement of the gospel. The third thing is this, that we are to lay down any weight that so easily entangles us. In the church, we care more about our rights than we do our responsibilities. But in the kingdom, we have to care more about our responsibilities than our rights. Most stop there, but as an infomercial would say, but wait, there's more. We're really good about the three. We understand that our provision comes from the Lord. We understand that people are the chosen vehicle for advancement of the gospel. We understand in the church, if you've been raised in the church or you know anything about Christianity, that it's our job to make sure that we lay down any weight that so easily besets us. Weight doesn't even mean just sin. It can mean attitudes or actions. It can mean good distractions or good things. We got to lay down every weight that so easily entangles us, but we do not, in this passage of Scripture, focus on the fourth instruction very much. We've actually lost along the way. Here's what it says. Whatever house you enter, declare peace or shalom over that house. We are to actively walk in the authority that changes atmospheres and cultures. Do you recognize that the Holy Spirit that resides in you gives you the authority to be able to change environments that you walk in? What a crazy statement that is. That when you go to work, the environment shouldn't change you. You should change the environment. When you go to church, the church environment shouldn't change you. You should change the church environment. Kingdom advancement teaches us that we have the ability to declare open heaven wherever the soles of our feet touch. The spiritual instruction of speaking life to dead things is a weapon of the warriors of God. Usually when faith speaks over flesh, it's usually forceful. Most translations and commentaries will rightfully so focus on the people of the household. They are the prize. Souls are what this is all about. But I believe that this declaration of instruction from Jesus to the 70 is not just confined to people, but it's also extended to spaces. I believe that we can, with the authority of Jesus in our life, pray that when people drive on this property, they encounter the tangible presence of God to the extent that they are ready to give their heart to Jesus when they walk across this property. I believe that. I believe that we have the authority to shape and shift not just people, but actual physical locations when we walk in the authority that God's given us. Let me give you some scriptures to back that claim up. Deuteronomy 11, chapter 24, verses 25 is a generational promise that God gave to Moses. And here's what he says, God's promise. Wherever you set your foot, that land will be yours. Talk about a promise of authority that you've been given a blank check by God Almighty. Could you imagine what Moses was walking through when he read that, or when he received that promise? So you mean every place that I step, I have the authority over? Read it. Your frontiers will stretch from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north. And from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, no one will be able to stand against you. No one will be able to stand against you. For the Lord your God will cause the people to fear and dread you as he promised wherever you go in the whole land. What an incredible promise that I haven't just given you authority and dominion over people, but I've also given you authority and dominion over spaces. It's the reason why we believe as Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians that it's important to pray over your homes, to pray over your office spaces, to pray over your anything that might be connected to you. The Bible says that every place where the sole of your foot touches, I'm going to give it to you. Here's what Joshua 1 and 3 says. Generational blessing. I will give you every place where you set your foot, just as I promised Moses. There is something powerful of the atmosphere that those who walk in the authority that Jesus creates. They are atmosphere changers. They don't just read the temperature. They set it. So many believers are like thermostats, or like thermometers rather than thermostats. Thermometers basically read the temperature of the room, whereas thermostats change the temperature in the room. And so many Christians don't understand the difference of what you actually have inside of you is the ability to change the temperature and direction and destiny by the words you speak and by the faith that you have. Here's what he says. Every place, from the desert seasons to the fertile land of the Euphrates, from the seaside to the mountaintop, to the valleys of your life, to the victories of your life, you have the authority in every place to claim it for the power and the might of Jesus in your life, no matter where. I don't know where you're at today, but I will tell you that no matter where you're at, you have the authority as a child of God to allow every season that you face to be for God's glory and the enemy's doom. So it's not just every place, but it's also every willing person. Fast forward to the commissioning of the 70. He gives the instructions with one disclaimer. He says in verse 6, "And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again." Or Jesus has given us very basic instructions that you have to be aware of the reverb that you're receiving as a Christian. I don't know if you guys have ever ministered, if you ever reached out in your faith and ministered to a coworker or a colleague or a family member or someone even in the church when God is impressed on you to go reach out to them. And the moment that you go reach out to them, the reverb that you get from them is that they're not willing to accept the free gift of Jesus. I don't know if you guys have ever felt that reverb. There's times when I'm ministering at church, when I'm proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and there is a reverb that comes back from the audience that is telling me that they're not buying what the Word of God's trying to sell. And what Jesus says is that when you go into spaces, when you go to minister in new areas, what you need to speak and declare is the shalom or the peace of God over situations and places. Because it's in the shalom, it's in the peace of God where freedom runs rampant. And where there is liberty and freedom, there's where the Spirit of the Lord is. So when I speak peace and shalom over my marriage, over my kids, over my family, over my church, what I am declaring is, ready for this one? The war is already over. There is a peace that only comes after a finished work or a finished war. Do you know as a believer, I don't know if you know this, but the war is over. Jesus already won. He's already given us dominion and authority on the cross. He's already given us the tools that we have to provide victory for our community and our church. And so I don't fight to a place of victory or to a place of peace or to a place of shalom. The Bible says that I can fight from that place. That when I look at the homeless situation in our community, I declare peace and shalom over it. When I look at those that are addicted to drugs, I say, Lord, peace and shalom over that. I pray, God, that you will allow victories so large that the whole nation will look at what's happening in Grants Pass and knowing that there's something about the authority in the name of Jesus. Let me try it again this way to help simplify. In being aware of the reverb, you have to understand not everyone wants to have peace. Some will find their identity in struggle and victimhood, and our authority over the demonic strongholds hinges upon people's free will in choosing whether or not they want to be set free or not. Some people, including those in the church, would rather love the comfort of their Egypt than rather despise the struggle of the promised land journey. Do you know when you get comfortable in Egypt, it's hard for you to walk away from the comforts of Egypt and join the struggle of the promised land journey. That's why this pastor's been telling you that open heaven is the place where God comes, where what has been meets what's going to be. And it's in that pressure where you have to decide what kind of man or woman of God you're going to be. Am I going to fold into the comfort of yesterday? Or am I going to stand up and say, for the future generations, I'm going to declare over my life and my church that every place where the sole of my feet touches, God's already given it to me. And I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to take my shoes off. And I'm going to say, Lord, I know it's sensitive right here, but I'm going to stand here because you told me to stand here. Oh, Lord, you want me to go there? Okay, I'm going to go there, but that even hurts a little bit more. And as we walk, and as we take a comfort of our shoes off and we say, Lord, make us uncomfortable. We believe in your transformation. Things begin to happen because as we place our feet, the shalom of God begins to be released over our world. We say peace. We say peace. Those of us who've experienced and seen the promised land have a favor to ask of you that have found the comforts of a pew or a church. My prayer as your pastor this morning is that you will keep walking, keep struggling, keep fighting, because in the end, the victory is not just the destination, it's the journey. When I see my 12-year-old son going through hormones and struggles and trying to figure out life, but I see him planted in the front with his hands raised on a Sunday morning, I want you to know the journey that allows you to walk and being uncomfortable is worth it because it helps change future generations. That's why Jesus tells Stephen's church to declare peace over homes. He says, when you walk into a place, declare shalom over the home. In the Old Testament, during the breakout season of the Israelites, God gives them a command. He says this. He says, over doorposts, spread the blood of a lamb, and when the spirit of death passes by, it will pass by you. In other words, peace will reject devastation. Your legacy will be saved because there's power in the blood, and it's not just for the saving of your family, but it's for the saving of your future. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, God has given his people, his children, the authority to declare shalom or peace over the places where they abide. I remember as a little guy, 12 and 13 years old, my dad's sickness was unto death. I remember there was a season in his life where the smell and the stench of his infirmity was permeating our house. I remember as a 12 or 13 year old residing in the place where death was at, laying in my bed with tears streaming down my eyes, saying, Lord, would you touch my father? Would you touch my dad? God, I know you can heal. I know you're a good God, but would you do it? And I remember this war zone that I was living in that was my home. But I also remember when my high school coach, Ron Strickland, came over with three or four of his compadres. And he said to me, we were at dinner at a life group, a care group, a small group, and the Lord impressed on our heart that we were supposed to come pray for Smut. Smut was my dad's nickname. And I watched as these three or four men of God came into my home and literally shifted the atmosphere from death to life. They would go into the corners of the home and they would begin to pray in the spirit with intercessory fire. They were anointing doorposts and they were screaming, telling the devil, hey, you have to leave this house. These are God's children. And I remember in my mind two thoughts. One, this is pretty intense. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. The second thought was, I'm thankful for men who are willing to contend in the spirit for the life over my home and my family. And I remember this something rising in me, this warrior cry rising in me as a 12 and 13 year old. I started Ready for this one? I started mimicking my prayer intensity after those men because I felt the atmosphere begin to shift. I watched as over the next 3 or 4 years, God gave this incredible reprieve and victory over my family. And that death stench left my home. Why? Because we have the authority as believers to set the temperature and the atmosphere in our homes. We do not have to take what the enemy deals us as though that's final. We have the authority. I want to pause here. I'm going to talk about the frustration that I have as a pastor of an American church. Many of you, in your mind, are now pointing to circumstances of where God didn't show up. And we have a bunch of people in the pews of the American church that have PhDs on why God hasn't moved or won't move. And we have spiritual little people that don't even know that God is still active and moving in their lives because they have PhDs on why he won't do it. And what I am challenging you as a believer is that you need to take your shoes off and not have a PhD on why God isn't doing something, but stand in faith and say, God, I believe you, even when I'm not even seeing you working, I'm believing the shalom of your word over my life. Some of you, when you're sick, you don't even have anyone to pray for you because the people that are around you will believe that God's not going to do it. Not this pastor. When people have health issues in the church, we say, well, I had a bad spell. I had a bad season. And what you're doing is you're declaring the enemy rooted in your life and not what God speaks over you. And what I'm believing for in this message called Open Heaven, I'm believing for an atmosphere shift that says we recognize, not naively, that the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And it might look on the scoreboard of some of our lives that the enemy is winning, but I believe in Jesus' name, the scoreboard of the Word of God says we speak shalom and peace over every situation. So we speak shalom over your home. If those of you that have been struggling in your marriages, those of you that have a house but not a home, this pastor declares open heaven over your home. And we speak peace and life because we believe that peace and life will reject devastation. We believe that the assignment of God, when you speak the name of Jesus, will overwhelm the plans of the enemy every time. Every time. We speak shalom over the home. We also believe in Scripture that we can speak shalom over the circumstance. Mark chapter 4, verses 39 says, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea and said what? Peace. Be still. And the wind ceased, and I loved what the Word of God says when it describes the moment. And there was great calm. In my mind's eye, Jesus was waiting in the hull of the ship for someone to say, Jesus, we've tried it all. The ship is about to sink, but man, Jesus, we need to wake you up. And I can imagine Jesus yawning and wondering in his own mind, I wonder when they were going to come find me. I wonder when they were going to call my name. I wonder when they were going to awake me from the slumber of their own heart. I wonder when they were going to say, hey, Jesus, the wind and waves and the circumstances of my life, it's causing my boat to rock, and I've turned everywhere. I've done everything I know how to do in my own power. But Jesus, would you wake up in my boat, and would you declare peace to my situation? And I can see Jesus wrestling, getting out. And I love what it said in this moment. Because I don't know how Jesus did it. I don't know if he whispered to the waves. I don't know if he took authority over the waves. All I know is that Jesus did what he taught us to do. Is he looked at the circumstance and he said, peace. Be still. Jesus has given us the authority not just to speak peace, over our homes and over our church and over our places, but he's also given us the authority to speak peace over our circumstance. And when you know that Jesus will do that, you know that he will give you peace and shalom over your sight or your future. I'm going to close with this passage of scripture. John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. I love that phrase. Jesus groaning in himself, like, don't these people know? Like, how many more times do I got to teach or tell them the authority that they have in them? It was a cave, and the Bible says a stone laid against it. Jesus said, verse 39, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. If that is not a picture of someone who knows better than Jesus. Jesus, this church can't live. Jesus, the best days of this church are behind. Jesus, this community is ravaged with drugs. The marriages and homes in this community are never going to be helped or resolved. Jesus, the homeless are who they're going to be. They made that choice. Jesus, you can't touch Grants Pass and Josephine County. There are many Marthas in the church, but Jesus reminded Martha in verse 40 of what open heaven looks like. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Verse number 41, then they. I want to be part of they. They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you will always hear me because of the people who are standing by. I said this, that they may believe that you have sent me. Jesus modeled, Lord, I know that you hear me. Our prayers don't go to a ceiling and drop down. Lord, I know that you're here witnessing what you're about to do in this church. And I say that not because I don't believe, but because some of you need to believe again. He said these things, and when he cried, I love this, he cried with a loud voice. He wasn't scared of what the people would say around him. And I love that he called Lazarus by name, because if he would have said, come forth, I believe every grave would have emptied in that moment. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. Some of you in this room, you need to picture in your mind's eye what he's saying to you. He's saying, Jerome, come forth. He's saying, Tim, come forth. He's looking at you in the circumstance where you lie, and what he is saying is, I've got the power to change the atmosphere and the circumstance of your life. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, not with a soft voice, not with a whimpering voice, not with an unfaith-filled voice. He said, with the voice of one who believed that his heavenly Father has given him authority, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Parkway, come forth. I speak shalom and peace over where the enemy has tried to ravage this body. I speak life, because we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And I love what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, those who had rolled away the tomb, Jesus said to them, now you go and you unwrap him. It is our job of the church that those who have been bound, it's our job to help take their grave clothes off. It's another environment of what laying on of hands is truly all about. I want you to stir the gift of God that is inside of you, Scripture says, by the laying of hands on by the elders. We have the authority to transform people's lives by the impartation of the laying on of hands. Jesus says to they, I love how they're unnamed. I love the reason why they're unnamed is because no one in this room can say God can't use you because you're they. You might think that you're the lowest man on the totem pole in the kingdom of God, but you have enough power flowing through your pinky to change atmospheres because you have the power of the living God inside of you. He says to them, loose them and let them go. So this morning, you find yourself in a cave with no way out. Verse number 38. Your situation and your circumstance stinks, and it seems like everyone's running from you. In verse 40, Jesus teaches Martha about authority. Martha, you do not just have the power to look at circumstances and say that they're going to remain that way forever. You have the ability to look at circumstances and seasons of people's lives, and you have the authority to begin to walk in obedience and remove the stone of doubt. Verse number 41. And then verse number 42, Jesus teaches us what hope and open heaven looks like. Father, we know what your will is. Your will is never for a dead marriage. Your will is never for kids to be away from the Lord. Your will is never for sickness and infirmity to ravage someone's body. Jesus, we know that you do not come and didn't establish a dead church. You came to establish an alive church. Jesus, we know that Christians are not supposed to be oppressed by demonic activity or spirits. Jesus, we know, Heavenly Father, we know that there's supposed to be an alive church in Grants Pass that is actively taking the grave clothes off of people who have been dead for too long. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we know that we're the head, not the tail. We know that we're above, not beneath. We know, God, that you've given us the authority that every place that our feet touches is ours. Lord, we know that by the laying on of hands and speaking shalom and peace over people, the enemy has to flee. We know, Lord, that our flesh will give us a PhD on why you're not working and why you're not moving, but we know that there is a spirit-stirred gift inside of us that is ready to rise up, and dry bones are getting ready to live because we believe that God is still in the miracle-working business and power. And it ends in the culmination of verse number 44. Our authority is that we get to take grave clothes off the dead who are now living. So I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you're Lazarus in a cave of your own choosing or your own circumstance, but I know that there's one named Jesus who's telling you to come forth out of your cave. I don't know if you're Lazarus. I don't know if you're Martha. I don't know if you're unaware of the authority that you actually walk in. But to the Marthas in the room, lift your head up and recognize that you have Holy Ghost power coursing through your veins. And you have the ability to set and change atmospheres by mentioning the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus, would you change the atmosphere of my life? So I don't know if you're a Lazarus. I don't know if you're a Martha. But I know all of us, we need to be a they. I want to be a person in a church who takes the grave clothes off of people and declares over people, you shall live and you shall not die. We speak shalom. We speak peace over this church, over this community, and over the families in this church. And we do it starting today. Would you stand to your feet all across this room as my wife comes and just plays on the keyboard just for a few minutes softly? Lord, we set our attention and our heart on you. We thank you that you've given us the authority to move mountains in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that we're going to see in this next few moments a demonstration of your authority like this church has never seen before. Father, I pray that you'll prepare the hearts of people from front to back, side to side. Father, I pray and I thank you that you're about to cause Lazarus's to come forth from their grave. I thank you that you're going to stir the hearts of Martha to begin to walk in the authority that you've called them to. And Father, I thank you that you're creating this church to be a church that takes grave clothes off of people. Church, one simple question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to take your rightful place as sons and daughters to change a community with the authority that God's given you? Your head's bowed, your eyes are closed all across this room. For the first group of people, the Lord's spoken to me all week about people that are in the throes of addiction. You're in the throes of marriage. You're on your way headed towards divorce. You're looking at your children and the circumstance of your children, and you're wondering where God's at. All across this room, you've been struggling because of the dead places in your life, and you've been asking God, where is he at? And this morning, God's stopping you in your tracks, and what he's saying to you is, son or daughter of God, come forth and rise above the grave that you've been living in. Sir, you don't need a word of knowledge. You don't need specifically where God's talking to you at. You know right where you're at. You know that there's dead places in your life that God is calling you forth from. You've locked yourself in the throes of addictions, of sexual addictions. You're in the middle of depression. You have shame and guilt that are spoken over your life. You're in the grave of insecurity. I don't know where you're at this morning, but God says by the power of the gospel, by the power of the finished work of Jesus, that it's time for you to come forth. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed all across this room. You say, Pastor, it's me. There's dead things that are inside of me that I need God to live. If that's you, would you stretch up your hands so I can see them all across this room? Your hands are going up everywhere. Dead places in my life. I want you guys to do me a huge favor in this room. I don't want you to wait. I don't want you to hesitate. If you raised your hand or you're next to someone who raised your hand, I want you to start walking down front right now. Would you come? If you raised your hand, I want you to come. Come right now. Just come. Don't even think about it. I just want you to come. Just come. Pastor Justin, I want you to stand on your feet. I don't want you guys to kneel. I want you to stand. I don't want you to come forward around this altar. Would you guys stand? Kara, would you stand? Would you stand? Victory. Victory's coming in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you guys for being obedient. They're still coming from the upper deck. If you raised your hand, I want you to come. I want you to come. We thank you for the shalom and peace of God. Are those in this room, if you're sick in your body and you're believing God for a miracle, and would you come forward right now? Would you come? Sick in your body and you're believing. This is where I think the body of Christ has to get a little bit better. I shouldn't have to call out specific things for you to step out in faith and say, Lord, there's dead places in my life, places of unbelief that I need help with. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to work on your life. Yep. Would you guys come forward? I don't mean to point you out, but we're taking care of, come on, come forward. We're taking care of places in our life that we're going to speak the shalom and peace over God. If I can have staff members, board members, if you're comfortable, elders, prayer team members, yes team members, would you guys come and would you guys stand behind these people? We believe what we're going to do is we're just going to softly lay our hands on your guys' shoulder. We believe through the impartation of laying on of hands that we're going to begin to speak shalom and life over you. And prayer warriors, here's what I want you to do. When you begin to pray for them, I want you to pray this simple but powerful prayer. In Jesus' name, I speak peace and life over this situation. And we're going to believe for a release of God's anointing and power in Jesus' name. DJ's right here. Good. Daryl, would you come? Would you lay your hands on this young man's shoulder? I've got two guys right here that need prayer warriors standing next to him. Who wants to help? Yeah. Yes. Now that your eyes have been focused on this way for a minute, would you stretch your hands towards heaven and just begin to ask the presence of the Lord to come in this room? Lord, we invite you. We invite you. We invite you. We thank you that when you do things, you do them all the way. We're not praying for a sort of victory. We're praying for a complete victory. All right, those of you that came down front, I want you to stretch up your hands like you're like going to receive a football. And just say, Lord, here I am. I need you. I need you. The Bible says the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith will save the sick. and you're here this morning and you're part of the prayer team, I want you to begin to pray and minister to those people that are in front of you. And I want you to begin to pray for them right now. Pray so that they can hear you. Declare peace over their hearts and their lives. Brooke, would you begin to sing a worship song and allow the churches to begin to worship?
Chains fall, now, oh Jesus, you change everything.
And I believe this is for our whole church, that Lord, would you give us the perspective of who we are in you, to know that you're not just like those fathers in people's lives that promise things that can't deliver. You're a good father. If you want to receive this word and say, like Pastor, I'm ready to walk in the authority that God's given me, would you stretch your hands towards heaven all across this room? Lord, overflowing. Overflowing. Father, I speak to the Marthas that are in this room. I know you've been told once, and I know you've been told twice. Some of you have maybe been told your whole life, but you have this picture and version of yourself that you're never going to arrive at the place that God's called you to be or who He's called you to be. And I am here to declare over you in the name of Jesus as your pastor, as one who's speaking life over you, you do not have to impress God. He already knows the things you're good at. He already knows the things that you're bad at. He knows the things that you struggle in. He knows your comings. He knows your goings. And despite all of that, He chose to send His Son anyways, because you were always enough. And all you have to do is believe and receive that wonderful gift of saying, Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to be operative in our lives. Father, we don't fight to victory, we fight from victory. Father, we thank you for the rest that I feel in this room, that we don't have to strive for something that you've already given. We just receive it. With this newfound belief, some of you are going to do something brand new. You're going to speak shalom over your kids that are walking away from the loan. You're going to speak shalom over your marriage. You're going to speak shalom over your church. You're going to say, Lord, I believe. Some of you, it's going to sound like that prayer in the Bible, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But you're going to say, would you stretch your hands towards heaven all across this room and just begin to speak it over your life? You know the areas where God's asking you to take authority over. Father, over our marriages, over our families, over our church, over our kids. Come on, he's coming close. He's close. Holy Spirit, would you come? Yes. Yes. This pastor declares as I get ready to dismiss you that we are going to be the they in that scripture. That when people walk into this room, we're not going to run away from their grave clothes. We're going to run to them. We're going to be the people that, through the sanctification process work of the Holy Spirit, walk with people through their highs and through their lows and let people know that they're not alone. This morning, if you're ready and you're willing and you're able to be part of the they, Lord, we say yes. We say yes. Father, help us. Even now, begin to put people on our hearts that we can help take the grave clothes off. Lord, we even recognize that there might even be grave clothes on us, that you're going to allow someone to come and begin to unwrap us. Father, we give you permission to speak to this body so that we can walk in the authority that you've given us. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen. Brooke, as we're dismissed, would you sing that song one more time? Holy Spirit, would you come?